Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Let's bring on Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network and various other outlets. He is on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real life magic for guests. Baldy, you're the perfect man to have on today. We are all just looking, I think everybody across Pittsburgh, at your breakdown, I believe from December, on the newest Steeler, and that's Braden Fehoko, the nose tackle. And I think this was against Tennessee. Do you remember the breakdown, and what do you think of this guy?
Well, I've always liked Braden. He just came in the league the hard way, undrafted free agent, worked his way, went to a couple different colleges, was at LSU. Won a national championship, but, he's just a wide body, Polynesian background, loves the game of football. His dad loved it. It's kind of in the family. And, I think that he's not going to go get you sacks and push the pocket, but, when you're looking at a team that wants to run the ball like Cleveland or somebody like that, like, you want him in the middle, just taking up space. And I think he's just, one component to kind of a rebuilt Steeler defense, but there's a role for Braden Fehoko in this league. He knows what it is, and I think he's good at it.
The Steelers are building up here in the trenches with him on defense. They bring back Ogunjobi and then Nate Herbig, Isaac Seumalo on the offensive line. Do you like what they've done? Are these quality additions, all of them?
Yeah, they are. Ogunjobi is just an explosive player. I think it was a good re-signing, especially, when they lost Javon Hargrave a couple of years ago. They needed somebody next to, Cam that could really push the pocket. I think he's proven that when healthy, he's really good like that. Andy Wido came from Philadelphia, and Baltimore, and he was at Pittsburgh. And, he's a big guy in the personnel department now. But that's how the Eagles have always built, strong in the trenches. He saw Howie Roseman do that for years. And Isaac Seumalo and Nate Herbig, both of them have been trained by Jeff Stoutland in Philadelphia. Seumalo is a really good player. I mean, he's an elite player, I think. He's really smart. He's big. He's really tough. Doesn't say two words. Just goes about his business. Herbig really proved himself last year with the Jets. Got a chance to start for the first time consistently. And there were weeks when he was their best offensive lineman up in New York. I like all those guys that they signed.
I don't know how much you've been paying attention to draft prospects, Brian, but is there any of those along the offensive line you think would make sense for the Steelers?
Well, they're sitting there with the 17th pick, and there's a lot of good offensive tackles in this draft. I'm a big fan of Jones coming out of Georgia right now and what he looks like. I'm a big fan of Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. I like both those guys a great deal. Just depends if the Steelers want to, part ways with the 17th pick for an offensive tackle. One of those guys might be there, maybe Paris Johnson. I like the other guys a little bit better than Paris, but I'm not down on him. It's just my own personal preference, the way I stack the offensive tackles. But, if you want to finish the job that they started this offseason, then go get yourself a left tackle that you could plug and play. Rebuild the offensive line, run the ball a whole lot better. Keep building around Kenny Pickett. Give him as much protection as possible. Make things a little bit easier and cleaner for Najee, to go, do what he does best. So, to me, this is a good draft. If you want to go get your franchise left tackle, I think there's a couple of guys in this draft you could go do that with.
I got a couple of sort of team-building philosophical questions here for you, Baldy.
Okay.
We're talking to Brian Baldinger of NFL Network. So all things being equal, let's say this player, each of these players will be, he'll be as good as the other, but at a different position. Would you take an offensive tackle or a corner with the 17th pick?
I mean, that's a decision, you know, that they have to make. Now, philosophically, you want to take the best player. Who knows who it's going to be? I mean, if Devin Witherspoon is there, if Joey Porter Jr. is there, I mean, and you have an elite offensive tackle there. I think this is a little deeper draft in corners than it is offensive tackles. I think you can get good corners in this draft all the way through the third round. And so that's just me looking at this thing. I mean, those guys in the front office are doing, and along with Mike T and his staff, they're working at this every day. And so who falls to them? Like, who does slide if somebody does? Those are kind of decisions you make in the moment, but you do make those decisions in the moment, and you make the right decision because of all the work that you've done going into the draft. But those are the type of, honestly, discussions that you have in your war room right now when you start to look at all these guys and who might be there and which one you favor the most.
Obviously, well, let's say you're in the war room. Let's say they hired you and they said, we got a great cornerback, we got a great offensive tackle. Which position is more important to a football team?
I mean, I take the offensive tackle. I'm just a little biased like that.
But give me right.
I would take the offensive tackle. I'm not saying, look, they signed Patrick Peterson. I don't know where Patrick is in his career right now. He's not what he was at one time, but he's got a lot of experience. He knows how to play. He's always been a physical guy. I think he'll fit in well in Pittsburgh. But, they lost a good player in Cam Sutton. So you've got to replace that. I think they've got to get better in the secondary than what they have been. But I just keep building around my quarterback, and I would take the tackle.
Philosophical question number two. Everybody talks, across history as the left tackle being the guy. Yes, your franchise offensive lineman. But there seems to be a school of thought, Brian, that the right tackle has become just as important. Case in point, your right tackle is going to have to block T.J. Watt if you're playing the Steelers. So is right tackle just as important these days as left tackle or not?
Well, the left tackle is a blind side of the right-handed quarterback like Pickett. So there's a little bit more emphasis on that, protecting the blind side, especially if he's just dropping back. I mean, in shotgun, it's not as difficult to see. Is if you're taking under center and you're dropping back. But, yes, you can make the case that, if you're Lane Johnson and you're the right tackle and you've got to go up, I'm just using Lane because he's the all-pro right tackle in the league. But, yeah, you're seeing T.J. Watt, you're seeing Von Miller. Miles Garrett goes over to that side and pays a little visit every once in a while. I mean, you go through the list of guys that are rushing over the right tackle, they're every bit as difficult to stop right now as, the pass rushers over the left tackle. So, It has come full circle right now, and your right tackle better be able to handle it.
And the last question of that sort is this. Some people will tell you if they were building an offensive line from scratch, they have an expansion team and they're ready to build their O-line, they would want to start with a center. They feel like that's the most important position. Which position, left to right, would you choose first if you were building a line from scratch?
I would go left tackle first, center second. The center is important. I mean, nobody knows centers better than Pittsburgh Steelers in their history. And the guys that are now in the Hall of Fame. But if your center is weak, your offensive line is going to be leaky. It's just not going to be strong. And so you look at any great offensive line, if you say, okay, the Eagles, do they have the best offensive line? You look at their center positions, Jason Kelce. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, there's Creed Humphrey. Had missed a play in two straight years. He's an elite player. I think you've got to have a strong center. Now, whether that's the first guy taken or the second guy when you build, you better have a strong center that understands protections, can get guys lined up. It's going to make your guards better. It's going to figure out how the defense is attacking you in their blitz schemes and pressure schemes. Your center can figure that all out if he's a really good one.
I'll go to the other side of the line with you, Brian. And how much have you seen of Kalijah Kancey out of Pitt?
Well, I've seen a great deal. And when you watch him, honestly, 9 years ago, Aaron Donald was coming out of Pitt. And they look almost identical. In fact, you could just see the cross chop, the spins, the counter moves, to thinking this guy must, like, live with Aaron Donald. Now, his arm length isn't quite as long as Aaron's, and that's a real issue for some people. A little short-armed in that position, which is important. It's immeasurable, but I can't help watch Kalijah and not think of what I was watching from Aaron Donald 9 years ago. Now, I'm not saying that Kalijah could be Aaron Donald or anything like that. There's only one Aaron. But I do believe that he's going to be a really good player in this league, that he knows how to rush the passer. He's got a plan. He's very active. The same things that they said about Aaron Donald coming out of Pitt are what they're saying about Kalijah right now. It's too small. He's going to get washed up. Can't hold a point. All that stuff they said about Aaron Donald. And none of those people would say those things about him now.
Would you take him in the first round, and would you even take him in the top 15?
I don't know that I would take him in the top 15. I mean, I like bigger. I like, you know, Cam Hayward better than I like Kalijah because of his size. And I think size is important inside. But there is a place for him. I think he's a first-round pick, but probably not in the top 15.
Did you see enough from Kenny Pickett at the end of last season to believe that he can be maybe not an elite quarterback, but can be maybe in that second tier of quarterbacks in the NFL this upcoming season?
I expect Kenny to take a big jump this year. I mean, you know, you can look at the stat and say 7 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he had one bad game where he threw 3 interceptions, but other than that, he really took care of the ball very well. He had one elite player to throw it to in Pickens. Deontay, like, he's got a, you know, we'll see how he does in this offense right now, if you can really run the ball better than they did a year ago. But I like the improvement I saw from Kenny. And, you know, he took over a team that was really struggling at 1-3 when he stepped in, and they made the switch after the first month. And, you know, I thought he got better as the season went on.
Brian Baldinger on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Bud Dupree was here for a visit yesterday, Brian. Would you think he's worth the risk as a little bit of depth, maybe some different sub-packages for him, but as a guy who you have in addition to Watt and Highsmith? Worthwhile investment?
Yeah, I mean, it probably comes down to money. He's overcome the injury from a couple years ago. Didn't have a great season last year, but Tennessee didn't have a great season. It wasn't all Bud Dupree's fault, but for sure. I mean, the whole defense was decimated at some point, including their best player, Jeffrey Simmons. But I would invest in him because you're going to need 3 guys on the edge. I mean, TJ has missed games. I like what I've seen, you know, from day one from Highsmith and his development. But Bud Dupree knows the defense. He knows the culture. He knows how he fits in. You know, if they can figure out the money part, I would think welcome him back. I think he would love to come back to Pittsburgh. He was a really good player there, got himself a nice free agent deal in Tennessee, but I'd welcome him back if they could figure out the money part of it.
I'll go back to the draft here real quickly, Brian. Is there one guy or maybe one position that you think the Steelers should take at 17?
Well, I think there could be a really good offensive tackle there, and I don't think I would pass it up. I mean, I just think that there's some elite guys at the top, and Jones and Wright, you know, that if they're around there, they just look like – I mean, you watched Darnell Wright at Tennessee. I mean, 2 years ago, like, okay, there's, you know, there's Walker at Georgia, and, you know, he doesn't get a sniff of the quarterback. He goes up against, you know, the number one defensive player in this draft, Will Anderson. He completely shut him out this year. I mean, you look at him against the elite players, Trayvon Walker, Will Anderson. I mean, he pitches shutouts. Now, you could say he raises his game to the level of competition. That might be true about Darnell, but he's 335 pounds. He ran 5 flat. Like, he's a mauler. I don't know. I love him. So he can play right side. He can play left side. Probably better on the right than the left right now. But Jones, I mean, he looks like Andrew Thomas coming out, except he might even be more consistent right now than when Andrew was. And Andrew Thomas right now is an elite player in this league for the New York Giants.
Last question, Baldy. If you had your choice of Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, or Will Levis, which one you picking and why?
I'd probably take Bryce Young right now, just because he's just an elite thrower. He can throw it from any angle. I think he's really smart. And, you know, I mean, he's everything that you want at quarterback, except that he's not 6'2". That's the only only shortcoming of him, but it doesn't look like it bothers him at all. Like, his footwork reminds me of Drew Brees' footwork. Like, his footwork is elite, and that's why he's able to play at that size. But he's also, I think his size actually is a strength because of his ability to just parry punches in the middle of the ring. Like, his footwork and how he gets rid of the ball is about as good as it gets.
Baldy, we really appreciate the time. You were the perfect guy to talk to today. Thanks for taking time.
My pleasure, guys. You bet. Enjoy it.
What stood out of everything he said? I know what it was for me, Folsy.
The Darnell Wright stuff. He's really high on him.
Man, is he ever.
Yeah, it's a guy that was not necessarily off the radar, but he brought up Broderick Jones as well at that 17 spot. But, I mean, we're talking to an offensive lineman guy, you know, of course. But the way he talks about him, man, if he's there, plug-and-play starter, here we go.
For me, it was on Seumalo. He's an elite player.
Yes, that did stick out as well.
I mean, if he can stay healthy. And then he said Herbig was the Jets' best offensive lineman several weeks. They've fortified, or they've certainly made an attempt, and a real attempt, to fortify the front, offense and defense. And I think that's very wise.
Yes.
I mean, they did. Let's not overdo it like they're doing something different than what Kevin Colbert and Tomlin tried to do last year. They brought in Mason Cole. They brought in James Daniels to a huge contract by Steeler standards, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What else did they sign? Chooks to a huge deal.
Right. They just had more holes to plug, really.
Well, it wasn't like they weren't trying last year either. But this year there seems to be even more, maybe, of an attempt to do that. They brought in Ogunjobi defensively. So I don't want to create the impression that this is something brand new. There just seems to be maybe an extra player or two, because I think what the Steelers have wisely realized over these past few seasons is depth is a major issue. Not
Correct.
For them, for every team. And if you have an advantage where you can throw in a Kevin Dotson as a backup to become a starter, that's a big deal.
And I'm glad they didn't sit on
or
who
Herbig.
They have up front, because the offensive line did improve by the end of the season, right? They were,
yeah.
they were playing better by the end of the year, but I'm glad they didn't sit back and say, all right, we saw those guys gel. We don't really need to make additions along that line. And we don't need to bring in extra depth, because they really got away with a pretty much injury-free last season. And that never happens. I mean, they got really lucky there for that to happen. They didn't have anybody miss multiple games.
Right.
So you can't count on that year in and year out. So I am glad they're still giving that attention toward the offensive line.
And I think it's almost too obvious, which makes me think maybe it's not true, but it really, really appears to be lining up for offensive tackle and a corner in any which way you want to choose it as their first two picks. Inside linebacker still wouldn't shock me. And maybe a defensive lineman, but man, I think it's going to go corner, tackle. You? Offensive tackle.
I would go tackle corner, maybe. I think it's going to be those two.
They simply don't have a guy on their roster who you can say, and not that a lot of people do, but they don't have a guy where you can say, go cover Ja'Marr Chase for the day. And he's not the only one. Like, the answer to that could be, well, nobody has a guy that can go follow Ja'Marr Chase and be successful. Well, maybe that's true, maybe not. But you also have Amari Cooper. I mean, just look up and down their schedule. Most teams have a really good number one receiver. I think this day and age, if you don't have two really good guys like the Dolphins or something, then you better have one guy who at least gives you a chance. And they didn't last year. Remember what Amari Cooper, remember Jacoby Brissett playing pitch and catch with Amari Cooper against Witherspoon? Mm-hmm. Remember that? They don't have that guy. Draft him.
Right. You can't go into a season with just one guy that you trust. Who else do you trust besides, I mean, I don't know. Do you trust Patrick Peterson even?
No. Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Not to follow a guy around or even cover a number one receiver. Absolutely not.
And I don't trust Witherspoon. I don't trust James Pierre. I mean, who else? Levi Wallace?
They don't have that guy. It's the biggest glaring hole on their roster, in my opinion. They do have, I mean, for whatever we think of Dan Moore, at least they have maybe an average starter there. I still think they're going to upgrade. Don't get me wrong. But the biggest glaring hole on this roster as we sit here today is the lack of an elite cover guy in their secondary.
It's the obvious need is cornerback. And so if they don't go corner with 17 or 32,
I'll be shocked.
Derelict of duty, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if that doesn't happen. Something else happened in the Pirate game yesterday, Folsy. And we have the final four on our hands. You have a Wheel of Football coming up at 45, but next we're going to go with those. How about a six-pack? Would you do that in honor of Ron?
Would love to.
Why don't we crack open a six-pack? Because there's a lot of things happening in sports. The Final Four has become really interesting to me because it's so different than the normal Final Four. And I just noticed the price of tickets, and I think this is very telling. So why don't we do that?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to do a six pack. That's his favorite thing in life and in radio. Folsy? I noticed where tickets for the Final Four are going for incredibly cheap prices. What do you make of that?
I make of it that it's what I thought would happen, and that a lot of people, you know, you root for the underdog throughout the entire tournament until it gets to this point where it's pretty much all Cinderella stories, and then all of a sudden the interest wanes where you're seeing San Diego State against FAU instead of Duke against North Carolina and lottery NBA picks. And some of that interest for the casual sports fan starts to go away. I saw the FAU press conference. There was like five reporters there.
Exactly. You're exactly right about that. And I think it was Bryant Gumbel I saw on yesterday on PTI. And we talked about this exact phenomenon last week. You want underdogs, but you want David versus Goliath, not David versus David. There's no intrigue in that matchup.
Correct.
With no Goliath, there just isn't. And that's why Pomp, I think, was dead wrong and is going to owe me money or whatever we bet, because he bet the ratings will be higher this year than last year. There's zero chance of that. Zero chance. Last year you had Duke and UNC in yeah. Coach K's potential last game.
You need,
in the Final Four.
You need Duke against FAU and, you know, UNC against San Diego State or whatever, you know, in those two games. That's intriguing.
Listen to this, Folsy. This is Stuart Mandel, SI. Some people may have lost money in their pools when Houston or Texas got eliminated, or, you know, the likes of those teams before the Final Four. But that's nothing compared to the bath ticket brokers must be taking. This is the get-in price for all sessions, semis, and national title in Houston. You can get two tickets for $65 each. I mean, there has to be years where that's $1,000 each.
Yeah.
To me, it's very obvious why that would happen. Next.
And there's also lack of interest, too, I think, because people have had their brackets broken, where it's like, all right, I got nobody left here.
Exactly.
Why
that's
watch?
Very true. That's very true. And I don't think that Miami-UConn's going to break any records either, I might add. Next. This is from Dov Kleeman, covers the NFL. Report, Georgia defensive lineman Jalen Carter has been taken off some NFL draft boards. The Raiders, for example, have crossed him off the board and will not take him seventh overall. And that's actually according to The Athletic. What do you make of that? Do you believe it?
I'm not sure if I believe it. And I think he's still going to go in the top 15. And when he starts to slide, I think there's going to be a team that looks at his tape again and says, you know what? This guy, we can get the talent out of him. He's got his off-the-field issues. I think he's got issues with his weight, too. Does he not?
I think he was a little overweight, yes.
So that might be, honestly, as sad as it might be to say this, I think NFL teams might be scared more of that than the incident he was involved in.
All of them, I would say, but the Raiders, because they had the horrific accident, Henry Ruggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Carter, even though he wasn't the car that was involved in the accident, if I'm correct here, and I think I am, but he might have been drag racing. Was that the allegation against him?
Yep.
I think for that franchise, man, I would understand why they would take him off the board. So I'm not sure that I disagree with that one. But by and large, I agree with you that he hasn't been charged with anything, to my knowledge, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
So if that's the case, then he's going to be drafted, and yes. I don't think he's going to drop out of the top.
He's going to be drafted pretty high.
Out of the top 10. I don't think. I could be surprised. I don't think so. Next.
Let's get the can.
There we go. Did you happen to see this guy at the Dodger game last night jump over the fence?
Yes, I did.
And then he kneels in the outfield back toward his fiance, gets down on one knee and proposes, and he's filming himself, and he looks all happy. And then a security guy comes racing into the photo like the office linebacker and breaks this dude in half.
And then Troy Polamalu comes into the picture and just wrecks this man.
And then three other guys. I mean, and then he's handcuffed. This is the hit of the year.
What a doofus.
What an idiot. And honestly, this day and age, more than any other, you take the chance to go on an athletic field, professional sports field, anywhere. I don't think there's anything that I couldn't defend them doing to you. And I'll be honest about that, because we have no idea what you're carrying with you, what's going on. We have thousands and thousands of people, plus the athletes themselves, and you get whatever's coming to you.
What a memory. Babe, you remember that one time I ran out onto the field? I went down on one knee, and then my life flashed before my eyes because a security guard, you know, tackled me in front of thousands of fans and ended up all over the internet with millions of views.
I mean, it was a hell of a hit, I'll tell you that.
It really was.
Ballsy? Pro Football Talk. Here's the inescapable message from the recent push to bolster Thursday night football, where we know now teams will be eligible to play two games on short weeks, and you better believe flex schedule is coming, maybe sooner than you think. The upshot of this, says Mike Florio, get ready for weekly games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and maybe even Friday and Saturday.
What?
What do you make of that?
Tuesday and Wednesday?
Tuesday night football. It wouldn't surprise you,
No, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm just thinking about what it would do to scheduling. Like, that's a lot to figure out as far
Nothing.
As when are you going to, you know, how are you going to make up for that, I guess?
I mean, if you can
team
play
on the other side.
If you can play on as odd a day as a Thursday, then you could certainly play
on a Wednesday
or a Tuesday. Yes. Tuesday. What's the difference between Monday night football and Tuesday? They'll just make you play the next week.
Is that the next week or is that a continuation of this week?
Now I'm very confused, Folsy, exactly. And I'm sorry that you did that. You know it's coming, though. He's right.
Oh, I'm sure they're not closing any doors on the days available. And I'm sure, like, they've kept Fridays available for high school football and all of that. Yeah, but if there's money to be made there, they'll absolutely play games on Friday nights.
Folsy? Jeff Goodman covers college hoops. In the last 30 days, more than 1,000 Division I players, including walk-ons, have hit the transfer portal. That is a record. What do you make of it?
This is the way of the world. I'm not surprised by it at all. I mean, especially now that you saw teams bring in a bunch of transfers, like Pitt, and have success, get themselves into the tournament. And these guys, these transfers, got playing time. And it worked out well for them, guys like Nelly Cummings and whoever else.
Worked out for Pitt. People are so quick to jump on this as the ruination of college sports. Forget about the Final Four. We just mentioned we think ratings will be down for that because the underdogs won. That's the point. The underdogs won. We're already in an age of NIL and paying players and transfer portals. And guess what happened? The rich didn't get richer as far as advancing in the NCAA tournament. They got poorer. They got eliminated. I heard Charles Barkley the other day lamenting this whole thing, joining all these coaches and saying, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be 25 programs that rule the world and the rest will be left out. No, it won't, Charles. Come on. Come on. We just, first of all, if you're talking college basketball, there's too many good players. So 25 teams can stock themselves. There's hundreds of good players left to stock the rest of them. Secondly, did you see who's in the Final Four? We're already paying some guys millions of dollars, and Florida Atlantic and San Diego State are there. It's not going to be the ruination of college sports. This was a great tournament up till now, and teams will still figure it out. And in fact, universities and programs that you probably wouldn't expect now have a chance because they'll have a rich booster or two who can jump into the fray. Look at Miami. Are they a college basketball power? Not traditionally. They are now, to borrow a phrase from Jim Boeheim, they bought a team. Unapologetically, they bought a team. Good for them.
With money.
Good for them.
And I think in some ways the transfer portal balances out NIL, where if it was just NIL, I could get on board with what Charles Barkley is saying, where it's, hey, it's just the schools, the richer schools that are going to get these players coming out of high school and can offer them these NIL deals. But with the transfer portal, there's options there where players can leave programs like
exactly.
Duke or North Carolina and go play somewhere else where they would be on the bench at those schools.
There's 1,000 guys in the transfer portal. Let's say 700 of them are decent players because, you know, we had Andy Toole on last week. He said anybody averaging double digits is going to get an automatic look from somebody.
Yeah.
So beyond the 25 mythical, rich, and powerful that Charles Barkley wants to point out, how many teams could you fund with 1,000 new players? Or could you field with 1,000 new players? Lots, I would say.
It brings in a whole new pool of options for schools like Pitt or Wake Forest, even,
look at
or
Pitt.
Whoever.
I'm sure Barkley, and nobody would include Pitt as among the rich and powerful in college basketball. But I think Hinson just got awarded the transfer of the year, did he not?
I think
yesterday?
So. Yep.
So Barkley is just flat out wrong, and so is anybody else who believes this will make the rich richer. It hasn't so far, and it won't. Here's the other point, especially in college football. It can't get any worse as far as who's at the top, never moving or never budging. If anything, this gives other people a chance. Because you know what? The depth from a place like Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia, their depth, the people who don't get to play there, really good players, now have an open opportunity to go elsewhere and go help Pitt or Texas A&M or Cal or somebody like that. So it's a flat out wrong assertion.
So
it is.
The portal in a lot of ways is the balance to NIL.
Next. Let's go back to Pro Football Talk and our favorite, Mike Florio. Lamar Jackson reportedly wants to play for the Patriots. Former Patriots cornerback Asante Samuel Sr. has some advice for him. And it's pretty succinct. You don't want to play for Belichick. What's this all about? Why not? Why not?
We'll That's the question. I think it's because of the reputation that he has, right? I mean, it's got to be that he's the no fun guy. It's a no fun zone in New England. And I wonder that now that they don't have Tom Brady there and they don't have legitimate chances of winning a Super Bowl every single season, if the
it's
no fun experience,
more miserable.
Yes, the no fun experience was tolerable if you were winning games, but now they're not winning as many games. So now it's just misery.
Well, here's what I always say about the Patriots. Josh Miller, I used to work with, and others who have played there said it's just a miserable work environment. And yet, I've been in that locker room a couple times after they won AFC titles, and it didn't look so miserable in there.
No, it didn't.
They looked pretty happy to me. Everybody eats when you win, as they say. And I think that Belichick, I'm not saying this would ever happen, they seem pretty invested with Mac Jones. But I bet you Lamar Jackson would have a pretty good life with Bill Belichick. He would. Might want to ask Tom Brady about that. He seemed to. And then at the end, it became miserable, and Brady wanted to leave. Okay.
I wonder, personality-wise, though, is it the same plug-and-play, Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady?
I think Belichick is smart enough to tailor an offense around Lamar's skills, and I think they would win.
Yeah. But I just wonder if, you know, eventually he wore down Tom Brady, if we were to believe everything that's been reported, that Brady wanted out eventually from New England because he just couldn't take it anymore.
Or they didn't, Belichick simply didn't want him anymore. I bet you if they came forward a year or two before that with a gigantic contract, Brady would have lived with it, I think.
Sure. I mean, money always talks.
Except in the Brian Reynolds thing. Now it's about conceptual.
Conceptual
issues.
But, yeah, I just wonder if the wearing down from Belichick's personality would happen more quickly with Lamar than it did with Brady.
Thank you, Folsy, for all your input. This was a wonderful six-pack.
Thank you, Joe. I enjoyed every bit of it. It tasted very delicious.
I'm reading this story about Andrew Wiggins. This is an unbelievable story, how he's just not with the Warriors anymore. He's just not there. Some personal issue that they have managed. And there's the amazing part of this. In this day and age, I mean, there's rumors flying around. Some of them are way out there. But there's no story yet. Nothing that anybody has close to confirmed on why this guy is not there and hasn't been there for weeks and weeks. They've managed to keep it buttoned up, and that's not easy to do this day and age. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think we see this more and more now, though, with athletes, where they'll take kind of these mental, I don't know if it's mental, who knows what's going on, but these like sabbaticals all of a sudden where they just kind of disappear for a little while. You don't know what's going on. I think in some cases it's probably a good thing if there's something serious going on in their lives. You know, you hate to speculate whenever you don't know anything about it, but just they disappear sometimes.
I mean, that's the other side of it, is that when you don't give your side, it's a world where speculation is going to run rampant.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Penguins. The Mikhail Granlund show continues, and maybe, as you mentioned earlier, at the expense of keeping Jason Zucker, who's been just an absolute monster. I think I could make a pretty good case, and I know Sid's having another great year. Gino has had a fabulous season. I could make a case for Zucker as the team MVP, honestly. Could you?
Yeah. And this is exactly what they needed from him over the past couple seasons. And I just think, I think of two things when I watch him play now. One is that they could have used this guy healthy the past couple years. What an impact that would have made for them. And two, I think of this guy is probably going to play his last season here because the guy wearing 62 who can't even, you know, is a black hole of production for this team, and Mikhail Granlund is going to take his money.
I'm looking at the Penguins stats right now. John Gruden played in 3 games, had no points. Jonathan Gruden. Oh, is that fantastic? Remember Drake
Cag? Hey, man.
What's his name?
Cajula.
Yeah, Cajula. Philip Hallander and Nick Bonino are at the bottom here with no points.
Bonino, 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 Bonino.
And he may be back soon. That game last night, you know, as I said earlier, I'm not convinced on anything. They needed a game like that. They need to win. They're still only 1 point ahead of the Panthers. They do have a game in hand, though, the Penguins do. But the fact that they shut out a severely offensively challenged team, still gave up a couple breakaways and, you know, kind of barely escaped is not very impressive to me. Necessary, but not impressive. And now they got the big bad Bruins coming to town, Fulzy.
Yes, they do.
What do you think happens here? They've actually played well for the most part against the Bruins in two losses. They had the Bruins blown out once, and then the Bruins come back late in the second period and the third period here, and then the Winter Classic, or whatever they called it this year, they played a good game against the Bruins and lost. Was that the game where Jari was hurt? I can't remember.
One of them. Yeah, I know.
The game.
How many?
The game.
Yeah.
One of the games where he was hurt. I think that was originally the one. I don't remember, Fulzy, but is this the game of the year when you have a team ready to make history here in the Bruins coming to Pittsburgh? I think so.
Yeah, not necessarily the game of the year in terms of their fate for the end of the season, because they still have, you know, some time here to rack up a couple of points to get into the playoffs. I don't think that they're going to be a total disaster on Saturday because they're at home and because I think they're going to get up for this game. They see that Boston is, you know, the powerhouse that they are. And so I think they're going to play a pretty decent game, although they could play a decent game, and if the guy in between the pipes is off again, like we've seen him, then it doesn't matter. Then they could lose by, you know, three or four goals if he can't stop anything. And I'm not convinced, based on his shutout last night against Nashville, that he's going to come back and have a great performance against Boston, because we know it's game by game with him. I mean, he could pull a hammy next game. Who knows?
That's exactly right. I don't trust anything about him right now. But he did play well. Give him credit for yesterday. And then he got the Flyer. It's the weekend of the year here for the Penguins. You combine all these things. You have Flyers on Sunday. Team about on the verge of history with the Bruins coming in Saturday.
And they're all at
home. And it's the weekend of the year at the arena for the Penguins. I think it's going to be interesting. I think they might beat the Bruins. I think they might. I read with great interest Josh Yowie's piece about how Sully is preserving legs this time of year. You know what I mean? Preserving their legs. People want them to practice after horrendous performances, and he's erring on the side of rest, and I don't blame him.
He should, because he's got an older team, too.
He's got the oldest team in the league by a mile.
I mean, you have to at this point. You can't run these guys into the ground. I could see them this weekend. I could see them, you know, winning 3-2 or something in a hard-fought battle against the Bruins on Saturday, and then they come back against Sunday, and they just run out of gas, and they lose like 4-1 to the Flyers.
Coming up, Jason Mackey. I mean, really, the story of the day. There's two of them: Bud Dupree watch and Brian Reynolds watch. Which guy signs first? Does either guy even sign?
My prediction, I guess, was wrong.
Yeah, it's
saying
gone.
That Bud Dupree was going to sign by 12:30.
It's all fun and games till the team puts the money figure in front of you, right?
Hmm.
You can put out your happy Instagram photos until they say $3 million, and then things aren't so happy. I don't know what happened, though. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen in the next minute that Bud Dupree will sign. But let's get to Reynolds and this conceptual issue that, as it's being referred to, is the issue between the two parties here, that they've allegedly agreed on the money. Well, to my way of thinking, if the conceptual issue is team options at the end of the deal, which basically means I sign you, Folsey, to a 5-year, $90 million deal with two additional years at $20 million or $18 million a year that I get to nix if I want because I'm the team, that is a money issue. And the Pirates have a long history under Bob Nutting of having option years at the end of a deal, which gives them an out. If you're injured, if you're not performing, they can say, forget the last 2 years of the deal. And the most talented player, certainly a core of them, that they've had in the last 12, 13 seasons, they have signed. Contrary to popular belief, they actually do sign their own players. But in each one of those deals, they added option years that gives them the advantage of saying, if you're not performing, you don't get the final 2 years of the deal. We get to nix it. Polanco had option year or two. Marte had at least one option year, club option year. Jose Tabata signed like a 3-year, $9 million with three option years at the end of his deal. And most importantly, and perhaps most instructive when it comes to Brian Reynolds, interestingly, since these two were traded for each other eventually, Andrew McCutchen in 2012 signed a six-year, $51.5 million deal. Or was it 5 years? I can't remember. But the last year of the extra year, the richest year at $14.5 million, was at the club's option. So in other words, it's not guaranteed money. Beyond the $51.5 million, I can say no to the rest of that. So I have to believe, my guess would be, that the conceptual issue is Reynolds wanted 8 years in the first place. Perhaps the Pirates are offering five or six maybe and saying, we're going to make those last two club options.
Yeah.
And he's saying, no, that I want my money guaranteed through 8 years. So the conceptual issue is actually a money issue, if that's the case.
If that is the case. The only other conceptual issue that we mentioned earlier was that there might be a no-trade clause in place that they're haggling over.
Could be.
You know, whoever wants that no-trade clause, whether it's Reynolds or the Pirates or whatever.
Let's grill Mackey on that next, shall we?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.